You are listening to the Delane MD Podcast, the podcast for health professionals struggling to lose weight. If you are a physician, nurse, PA, or other clinician looking to permanently shed those pounds, stop overeating, feel better, and prevent disease, Dr. Vaughn offers practical strategies and tools to overcome the many challenges that undermine weight loss efforts. Now here's your host, Dr. Delane Vaughn.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Delane MD Podcast. I hope everybody's been enjoying the podcast. And if you have been listening and getting a lot of information that you found helpful, if you wouldn't mind leaving me a rating or a review, I would much appreciate that. Also, if you like this information, similar information is put out every Tuesday at 6:30 on a Facebook Live. So if you want to listen to those, you can interact with me live. I answer any questions that you might have. So if that's something you're interested in, please show up on Tuesday at 6:30. So today I am going to talk to you guys about one of my very favorite concepts in coaching. So I was listening to a podcast today from one of my mentors and teachers, and she asked the question, how different would your life be if you did everything you ever made plans to do? That question blew my mind. So thinking of everything and anything you've ever thought of doing, wanted to do, or planned to do, and thinking of how your life would be different if you followed through on everything that you ever put the time and energy into planning. So personal examples for me. So I don't know, 10 or 15 years ago, I really wanted to plan a race event. It was going to be a 5K, and it was going to benefit the local school district here in Wichita. And it was going to get people out exercising, which I thought was really great. And it was going to benefit my schools, which I know the schools are always in need of extra funding. And I was going to feel really great about it. I made a number of phone calls about this to different event planners and to different race event planners, got some information, and then it kind of fizzled out. Another example that I think most folks will be able to relate to is organizing our house, right? We'll get this big plan to how things are going to run smoother in our house. It's going to make us all have an easier life living in our homes, right? One example was a few years ago, I bought bins for all of the kids to put their laundry in. And each bin had a name on it, and the kids were supposed to put their laundry in it. And then when I was done folding it, or when I was done washing it, I would put the laundry back in those bins. Depending on the age of the kid, they would either fold their own laundry or at least put their own laundry away, right? And although I still use some version of this sometimes, it certainly was not making my life, after about, I don't know, 4 weeks of it, it did not make my life as easy as I thought it would. And it wasn't because of anything anybody else was doing. It was because I wasn't really keeping up with it. I wasn't really upholding that fabulous plan that I had developed in my head. So the other plans are things that I've thought of and probably not put as much time into: a community garden that would be connected to the federally qualified health clinics that I work for. That seemed to make tons of sense. Wouldn't that be great that we would have community gardens right there in the food deserts where our health clinics are for folks who not only have problems getting around town to get to healthy food, but then affording that healthy food? That seemed to make a lot of sense. And then urban farming, which I haven't let go of that dream. I just need to gather more information on it. I'd really love to do urban farming. But either way, I think everybody's had the experience where we've had an idea and we've wanted to do it. And maybe we've made some phone calls. Maybe we've collected information about it. But really, it was basically a failure to launch. So if you're not sure if you're one of these people, if anybody has ever said to you, you always get these great ideas and then you lose interest, you might be the people I'm talking to. I've certainly heard that on more than one occasion from my close friends. So we tell ourselves all sorts of reasons about why this doesn't kick off the way we had planned it in our head. Life gets in the way, other things come up, I've been too busy, there wasn't enough time. It always seems very innocent. And it may be very innocent. I mean, we can't always enact every great idea we have in our head, right? But what I want to look at this approach, this getting these great ideas, putting effort and time into planning, and then not following through, I want to look at how these affect our health and wellness and weight goals. Okay. So things I'm talking about, maybe you have decided that you want to really start exercising and you put all this time into finding a class at the gym. Maybe you have to get special equipment to bring with you. Maybe you put the time and energy into buying workout clothes so your workout clothes fits right. You're not embarrassed to wear them. They're not dirty and gross. You put all this time and energy into it. And maybe you go to two or three of the six exercise classes and then you throw in the towel. Or other things. Diet plans. Diet plans are a fabulous example of this. You've got a new plan. You look through week one through six. You buy all the food you need for week one. You get new containers because they're perfectly sized to go in your new lunchbox that you've bought just for this purpose. And maybe you do it for 5 or 6 days. And it gets hard. Life gets busy. Something came up. I ran out of time. I was too stressed out to keep up with it. All these excuses come back in, right? It's the same excuses that we use on all of these other things. I want to bring you back again to this question. When you consider your health and your weight goals, how would your life be different if you always did what you said you would do, if you always did what you planned? Every time you've planned to lose weight or diet or start a new exercise plan, what if you actually followed through on that? What would your life look like? Where would you be? Now hold the phone, guys. Before you go beating yourself up over this, you're totally normal. Why does this happen? It's that sneaky primitive brain coming back in. So I want to talk to you guys today about the primitive brain a little bit more. This is one of my favorite topics in coaching to talk about because it shows up everywhere and wreaks havoc on our lives and our plans. So if you remember back to the motivational triad, that triad is to avoid pain, seek out pleasure, and if it can be instant gratification pleasure, we're even better. And then expending the least energy possible. That's the third component of that motivational triad. This is what runs and drives and inspires and motivates our primitive brain in every way. It wants to stay in the cave. I always think of the phrase stay in the cave as, if you ever watched the movie The Croods, I love this movie. But apparently, it's actually based on Plato's allegory of the cave. I've not read that. I don't know. I have not studied the allegory of the cave. I'm not that sophisticated. No, leave it to me to take Plato and turn it into a DreamWorks movie, The Croods. So The Croods is about a family. There's a mom and a dad and a daughter and a baby and a grandma all live together. They are cavemen and they live in a cave. And the dad's sole goal in the world of this movie is to keep his family safe and alive. And the daughter, she wants to adventure out. She wants to explore. She wants to get out there and see what else is out there in the world, right? And the dad is constantly, get back in the cave, get back in the cave, stay in the cave. Stay in the cave where it's safe. Why are you trying to kill us all? So your primitive brain is the dad in that movie. He wants you to stay safe. He wants you to stay fed. He wants you to be in the cave where we know exactly what's going to happen. We know exactly what wants to go on. Anytime that we attempt to make a change in our set patterns in our life, that primitive brain kicks in and it puts on the brakes. Whoa, Nelly, hold the phone. Let's not go getting crazy. Our primitive brain says, that won't work. It tells us that's a bad idea. Or it tells us, let's not get out of hand. Or that's just plain crazy. Our primitive brain throws up all sorts of obstacles and roadblocks. And if we actually have the courage to press forward with these new plans in spite of our primitive brain and all of its obstacles, whenever we end up meeting a speed bump in this new path with these new plans and this new pattern that we're trying to set in our life, those speed bumps are interpreted by our primitive brain as evidence of exactly what they said. This is a bad idea. This is crazy. Let's not go getting out of hand. We told you this wouldn't work. So examples of this. So say you start an exercise program. You make plans to go to a class. You find the timing. It fits into your schedule. You buy the new clothes. You buy any exercise equipment you need. And you go to the class. And you walk in and you know nobody. You are the outsider. There's all sorts of other people. They know each other. But you don't know anybody. Immediately, your primitive brain starts throwing up all sorts of red flags. Oh my gosh, we're the only one who doesn't know anybody. Everybody's looking at us because they don't know us. We are the outsiders. Maybe you actually stick with it and you go in there and you exercise. And you realize that aerobically, you're not where you need to be. They're all able to do these things. And you're falling behind in the class because you can't keep up because you can't breathe. And then your primitive brain's right there again. See, we told you this wouldn't work. I knew that this was going to happen. Look at you. You look foolish. Everybody's looking at you. Maybe you started a new diet and you get to work on Monday morning with your new containers and your new lunchbox with the food that you bought over the weekend, everything prepped beautifully, and you start getting hungry about 10 o'clock, but you weren't planning on eating until noon. And 10:30 rolls around, 10:45 rolls around, all these hunger thoughts are getting stronger and whirling in your head. And suddenly your friends from work come into your office and they're like, hey, we're going to go get burgers down the street. You want to go? And you're like, heck yeah, I want to go. I'm starving. And before you can even think about what you want to answer, you've already let that slip out. And suddenly you're on the road going to burgers, right? And your primitive brain tells you. It's just like all the other diets. We knew you couldn't do that. Just eat what you want. You know it's just too hard to keep at it. All of these thoughts, see, it's a bad idea. Everybody's looking at you. You look foolish. You can't keep up this diet program. This won't work either. It'll just be like all the other diets you've failed. All of these thoughts lead to feelings of inadequacy. They lead to feelings of fear. They lead to feelings of failure, which inevitably drive the action of quitting. They satisfy this fear-based part of your primitive brain that's telling you, stay in the cave. Nothing that's new can possibly be good for you. Just stay in the cave where it's safe. We know how this works. Don't try anything new. And we get instant gratification in the form of not exercising, which is avoiding pain, right? Or eating food that doesn't serve our body, that's seeking out pleasure, right? And then we expend the least amount of energy. Because we're not really trying anything new. We're not building a new bridge anywhere. We're running the same old crappy path we've ran 100 times, right? This is exactly the action that our primitive brain wants. Because you know why our primitive brain wants this action? Because it totally supports the result of the thoughts that it's telling you. You can't do this. Of course you can't do it. If you're not going to do anything different, you're always going to get the same old results you got before. Of course that diet isn't going to work either. That's exactly how it works. Our brain wants to support. It wants to see evidence for things that we already think, that we already believe. Why? Because then we don't have to do anything new. Our brain loves that. So whenever you find yourself seeking out instant gratification with the hopes of avoiding some challenge, I want you to remember that you're going to experience that instant gratification at the cost of whatever your bigger goal is. I want you to think of the times that you've attempted to lose weight and then believed all the things your primitive brain told you. What did it cost you? What did you gain from this? A few Twinkies? Some Doritos? Some French fries? Some nachos? Some ice cream? Some cake? Maybe that's what you gained. What did you lose? What accomplishments did you lose by believing that primitive brain, by acting in the way that primitive brain tells you you should? My guess is you lost the self-confidence. You lost the ability to trust yourself. You lost the opportunity to show yourself that you can do whatever it is you set your brain to. So here's the great news, the best news ever about all of this. As humans, we are not cursed with only a primitive brain. We are also blessed with a prefrontal cortex. The prefrontal cortex is the executive decision maker of your brain. It's the part of your brain that tells ourselves, our primitive brain, we're not going to spend money on shoes today because we have a mortgage due next week. Or we're not going to throw an elbow at that lady who grabbed the last pair of jeans that you were hoping to buy, and now you've got to go try on a different pair of jeans or whatever. The prefrontal cortex is what tells us to do things in a thoughtful, intentional manner. It makes plans. It executes plans. It thinks ahead. So when you're looking at the prefrontal cortex in the primitive brain, I want you to think of the primitive brain as a toddler. It's a toddler with a permanent box marker. You know the permanent box markers I'm talking about, the ones that you use when you move? They're about an inch in diameter. They're, I don't know, 6 inches long, and they will get you high if you sniff them long enough. Those are the markers I'm talking about. They are truly permanent. A child or a toddler with one of these markers is not inherently evil. They don't want to go around and ruin everything in your home, but they are dangerous. And if they are not watched carefully with that permanent marker, they will in fact ruin everything in your home. They need to be managed. They need to be monitored. If they have a paper that they are allowed to write on with this marker, that's fine. You can let them write on that paper. If you do not keep an eye on them, I will guarantee you they will get off that paper, they will write on the surface that they were drawing on, and before you know it, it'll be on your rug and on your furniture and on your walls. Our prefrontal cortex, that's the manager, that's the monitor, it's the nurturing mother. Sometimes the nurturing mother has to take the marker away from the toddler. And what does that lead to? The toddler pitching a colossal fit, totally throwing a temper tantrum. And what does the mother do? The mother waits patiently, because as a mother, we all know this passes. And this isn't going to be the first or the last fit this toddler pitches. Colossal fits, they pass. Permanent magic marker on your carpet does not. Toddlers all want this instant gratification. Nurturing mothers know the wisdom of putting off gratification for long-term benefits. The achievement of a goal that takes postponing of that instant gratification is much more rewarding than the instant gratification. Knowing that we can trust ourselves to do what we say we will do, to do what's in our best interest, is so much more rewarding than a Twinkie, than a cupcake, than pizza, than going out for lunch for burgers and fries that you've had 100 times and aren't really even that good anyway. So again, I want to ask you, how would your life be different if you always did what you said you would, if you always completed the tasks that you planned to complete? Your prefrontal cortex makes plans that are in your best interest, just like that nurturing mother. That nurturing mother knows what's best for the toddler, knows it's important to go to bed on time, knows it's important to brush your teeth, knows it's important to eat your vegetables, knows it's important to take a bath. The toddler does not want anything to do with any of these things, but the nurturing mother requires it because she knows it's what the toddler needs. As adults, we let so much of our lives be ran by this toddler version of our brains, this primitive brain. We need to allow that nurturing mother to make these decisions, and then we need to stick to those decisions. How do we learn to trust what was our toddler and then becomes our school-age child and then becomes our preteen and then our teenager? The way we learn to trust the teenager with our car is that because the steps between the toddler years and the teenage years, they have built our trust. They have done things so that we know that we can trust them, right? That we know that if they get into trouble and they can't get themselves out, that we can trust that they're going to call us for help. They're not going to try to figure it out. We know that if a bad influence friend comes to them with a bad idea, that we can trust them because they have shown us in the past that we can trust them. And how much stronger is that relationship than with that teenager when we know that we can trust them? We're not still treating them like the toddler because they've grown. That's what we want our minds to do. We want to be able to trust our minds. And how do we do that? We practice. We start challenging ourselves to manage, to monitor that primitive brain, to start taking things away, letting the primitive brain pitch its fit, not giving into the primitive brain, but sticking with the plan that our nurturing mother made for ourselves. This is a 24-hour plan sometimes. Sometimes it's an exercise plan. Sometimes it's a drinking plan, whatever that might be. We practice keeping to that plan. The toddler didn't get access and privileges to the car overnight. It took time. So does this. I want you to remember that and be patient with yourself. But the point is to start being that responsible version of yourself. You need to start listening to that nurturing mother and letting her monitor and make those plans for you. You just need to execute the plans. She wants what's best for you. So again, how would your life be different if you always listened to that part of your brain? I want you guys to go out and think about this. I want you to see where you can see your primitive brain, the toddler, pitching colossal fits in your life throughout the week. And then I want you to think about what your nurturing mother, your prefrontal cortex, would do for this and how the prefrontal cortex would want you to handle that situation. And I want you to practice handling it that way and watch how the primitive brain will calm down. The fit will pass. They always do. It will not stay forever. And then any questions, any thoughts, any comments that you guys have, I'd love to hear them. Let me know. So I hope you guys have a good week. Tune in for the Facebook Live on Tuesday at 6:30, and I will see you guys next week for a new podcast. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Delane MD podcast. More podcasts are available at DelaneMD.com. If you're ready to permanently lose weight and prevent weight-related disease, contact Dr. Delane Vaughn by visiting DelaneMD.com or on Facebook at DelaneMD. Oh.